said, Brandon, I wanted to debate and just thank you for this amendment. The first portion of your amendment related to portions of South Navy Boulevard in Escambia County and renaming that Warrior Sacrifice Way will change the designation of the one way in and one way out for families driving their loved veterans who paid the ultimate sacrifice to Barrancas National Cemetery.
This is Representative Alex Andrade speaking on the floor of the House, talking about the roads designation or the transportation facility designation bill. That's a whole bunch of things, including Charlie Kirkway and Donald J. Trump Highway, which is State Road 80, going east to west across the southern slice of Okeechobee from like Cape Coral and Lee County over to Palm Beach, I think, over on the east side. Alex Andrade, as is kind of understandable, gets kind of worked up whenever he talks about Navy Boulevard, especially with the terrorist attack.
Some of y'all may recall, I know Representative Rayner recalls, in 2019 on December 6th, three young sailors paid the ultimate sacrifice in a terrorist attack at NAS Pensacola. And I appreciate you putting this amendment on, so I had the opportunity to recognize and remember their names one more time. Joshua Watson, Cameron Walters, Muhammad Haitham. It was the worst day I could have ever had in office, and it's an extreme honor to be able to recognize them and remember them in my last session.
So joining us now is the guy who seems to be crying every time we hear a clip from him, Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you. Very understandable in this case, though.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I didn't actually cry that time. Maybe my voice got a little
creaky,
shaky,
a little froggy.
No tears that time.
Okay.
I will say
Can I pause you though? You know, a lot of times it says more about what things you feel the need to deny than anything else. And the position you find yourself in, having to deny crying, is sort of telling.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that one.
I'm sure you'll get me back later. Worse.
Well,
go on.
Well, if you really want, I'm giving my going away speech next week, Tuesday, and I don't know if I'll get through it. So
I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I know you've invested a lot, and it's cost you a lot.
I hope I do.
You hope you do. Well, it won't be very entertaining if you just read a speech. All right, anyway, you were going to say about the designation of the road.
Yeah, no, it's just that portion going in and out of the front gate of NAS Pensacola. Obviously, we have some funding in the House budget right now trying to improve that entryway as well. It's important. It was one thing that I thought, I'd kick myself if I didn't do before I left office. I wanted to recognize the sacrifices of those who've given their life, and service to our country. So,
and by the way, I don't really want to dwell on it, but just because I know it's kind of been in the news a lot in the last day, the whole business with Michelle Salzman and Mike Kohler, the funding for the renovations on Navy Boulevard and the turnaround that's going to happen there for the semis and some of the signage and the beautification and all that, and the designation of the road. I mean, it's your district, so why this is suddenly, and it's going to happen. So why this is suddenly the source of a big fight between them is, I just think it's kind of, it's unfortunate. I'll just say it that way. But you're carrying both the funding bill for the renovations and also the name bill, and they have Senate support as well, right?
No, Representative Maney's covering the funding. He filed the appropriation. If you can imagine, Andrew, things that I, really want to get funded, I don't necessarily need my name on this year. So,
I see. So okay,
it's been a little bit uncomfortable with the whole, kerfuffle in public, but, I'm excited for the funding. Hopefully it makes it into the final budget. It's in the House side, not the Senate currently. It's just, one thing I definitely wanted to try and get done before I left.
Gotcha. Very good. Several other bills that you guys have been working on or have passed. One that I actually thought was really interesting, but I guess may not go anywhere in the Senate, the HOA reform bill that allows you to take cases directly to courts that are going to be set up to receive claims about HOA misbehavior instead of having to go through this long process designed to accelerate reform, removal of people. Because right now the process is basically useless. Anything that would allow people to deal with problems on their HOA or to change an HOA or to dissolve an HOA, I mean, I'm a fan. I like HOAs. I actually think they do serve a purpose. But the fact that you can't do much if they're screwed up is also a challenge. But this one's not. It passed in the House, but it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate.
It's not. And I appreciate the sentiment. There was, I think, two no votes, and one of them was Judge Pat Maney from Okaloosa County.
Who was the other one?
I think that I don't remember who the other one was, but we have a system in place to establish which circuits need new judges. I think if we were to create administrative jurisdiction so that DOA maybe could handle these HOA claims, that would make more sense. Hopefully over time it gets worked out. But I think that if this were to pass in both chambers, I think probably we would have looked harder at something like, we're not going to create new circuit judges just for one type of case. Because I don't know how many cases there are for condo and HOA disputes in South Florida. It's obviously not nearly enough up here to justify adding new judges. But hopefully over time that policy gets better and better and becomes law. Maybe next year, the year after. There's some administrative hurdles and issues in that whole process, and I know it's a real issue down South Florida with abuses of power. These are mini governments. A lot of these HOAs are very large, and they're just, some of them have more people than cities.
60,000 people in one they were talking about yesterday. Yeah, it's amazing. So the idea, yes, maybe not this mechanism, especially because of the burden on the judicial system or the need for more judges. That makes sense. Okay, I hear that concern. And especially, as you say, coming from the judge who certainly knows, a former judge. A couple of bills that the House is working on. One has to do with campus speech. And I've kind of looked at this bill, and I don't really understand what it accomplishes. Can you explain?
Well, yeah, it essentially says, it directs the BOG to create rules and standards to prevent state employees, while they're doing their state employee job, from engaging in partisan political speech. There was, I think, a misreading on the House floor of a portion of that where universities a month or so before an election have to send out an email reminding folks of some of these requirements. But it was largely just direction to the Board of Governors to, set up a standard and make sure that, state employees, while they have their state employee hat on, aren't engaging in partisan political speech.
Okay, so it's partially a clarification, but it's also a instruction that, just like we have all kinds of notices to employees about what they can and cannot do, we want to make sure that people are reminded routinely about these rules because their familiarity with them, their knowledge of them, or their defense that they didn't know any better when they are getting in trouble over them, those are all important things to avoid. Oh, by the way, we got a great text in here. Somebody says, when it comes to the crying, he says, he's a passionate man, all in caps. We can only be so lucky and blessed to have someone who cares so much about his community and his country. So, I know, right? I love my listeners are so good.
Okay.
The other bill, it's not the same, obviously, but it's kind of in the same vicinity, is the bill that dealt with prohibiting DEI initiatives in local government. I think this one was another kind of blown out of proportion bill, but what was the bill really going to do here?
Well, we haven't heard it on the House floor yet. The Senate heard it on the Senate side, and they took hours. One of the biggest differences between floor sessions, between the House and the Senate, is that the House has what's called structured debate. So we have allotted time for questions on bills. We can negotiate, between the parties, a total amount of time to debate and question and total amount of time for each amendment. On the Senate side, there's no structured debate. So they took hours and hours and hours. I think it might have been up to 5 hours on this one bill.
Wow. All right.
I could be wrong, but I think it went that long. On this bill that essentially just says, local governments can engage in DEI initiatives, but because of the when you start abusing and misusing euphemisms, and when you get into the game of reappropriating or redefining what words actually mean, you get into this bizarre situation where saying, hey, you can't treat anybody different based on their skin color, suddenly means that, like, you know, you can't have a Martin Luther King Day parade. Is that what you're telling me? Because if I can't treat people differently based on their skin color, you're saying I can't have an MLK Day parade. And it's those kinds of, like, ridiculous premises that I think just continue to get injected in debates like this. And I think both all sides are well-intentioned. It's just – it's part of that kind of, like, woke mind virus. Like, people actually – once you start getting into that game of redefining words and terms, you forget what words actually mean.
You know, it's funny. You and I have a common problem, which is – being really emphatic about, like, reason and logic and good argumentation and avoiding saying, you know, really silly things. Not everybody plays that game that same way. some people are not capable. They're not capable of playing the game properly. But some people know better, and they still choose to do it the wrong way. And it is. It's disappointing. I was earlier in the show, I was playing some of the clips from the discussion about the Charlie Kirk day and, you know, listening to Reps Nixon and Gant, you know, and Rayner just say the most absurd and obscene things, and it's disappointing because you always want to hope for better. The AI Bill of Rights, as I understand. Oh, actually, before we get to the budget conference, Senator Gates sent out a note Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, saying that this is, I'm super summarizing, but one of the most disappointing sessions, maybe not the most disappointing session he's ever worked in, where very few bills are getting heard in both chambers. A lot of stuff is going to get thrown on the floor as we sine die without both chambers having heard a bill. And he says that it looks like the budget may not make it in time. Is that true? Are we going to have to go into extra innings for the budget?
We're definitely not getting done by Friday, from my perspective. There's no chance we get our budget done and agreed in both chambers by Friday, especially with the 3-day resting period on the budget. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing from the House's perspective. So Wyman dug in yesterday on the House floor when he gave his farewell speech. He's a class act. He didn't name names, but he made references to people who hold on to power well after their time in control, and people who can't make decisions. And he was referring, from my perspective, to, you know, the dynamic between the current Senate president and the immediate past Senate president. It feels like a lot of dysfunction on the Senate side this year.
Versus Pasadena before, right?
Yeah, and just the dynamic is it has not been clear for a while now, like, who's actually running the Senate. I think Senator Gates's email, he's also a class act, and I can't put words in his mouth. I have not read the email. My assumption, if those were the frustrations he was highlighting, is he was sending a message that, you know, hey, we, you know, come on, guys, let's get it together. The budget not getting done on time, though, is not necessarily a bad thing. Me personally, right? So Governor DeSantis has already announced, like in January, he announced a special call for April 20th for redistricting our Florida congressional maps. I don't necessarily feel like we should have the budget done before then. Why would I want the final product of our budget dangling over mine and everyone else's head, you know, during a special session when we're redistricting congressional maps potentially? I think we might get the budget done the week before, potentially. I'm not sure. Regardless, I think we'll probably, you know, wrap up next Friday, probably take a week or two off, stay in session, and then come back and do the budget, or at least hopefully do the budget. My hope is to have it done before the end of April, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Okay, interesting. Well, like you said, we got one more week of regular session. There's going to be extra innings this year, most likely, for budget and also, as you say, for the redistricting. So next Friday won't be our last time probably talking to you, which is good, you know, because I think you're a great resource. But in case I don't have the opportunity, which I sure I will, but in case I don't have the opportunity or forget to do it, I really appreciate you all these 8 years. You know, you've been a fantastic, in my opinion, great legislator, but also knowledgeable about the system going back to your time in the DOT and everything else. So I appreciate you being a part of the show for all this time and knowing you as a friend. Anyway, Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2, and I am looking forward to that closing speech, that farewell speech next week. Thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you.